Hey, anything to talk about recruiting wise?
It's a ton going on, my man.
There is a ton going on. Welcome to the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel, powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook, got Coach Dub. Justin Wells will be joining us shortly. If you're seeing us popping up, yep, we are aware KJ Edwards committed to Texas A&M. This is one, Charlie, that we thought Chad Scott had a good in with, but credit to Texas A&M. They did a lot of work on the official visit this past weekend, enough work to not only get KJ to cancel his Texas official, but to go ahead and commit to A&M, and kind of makes a restart for or provides a restart for the running back recruiting in the 2026 class.
Yeah, you got to kind of reevaluate your board and see who's on there, see who hasn't committed. And, it's not December yet, right? Nobody has signed. So maybe you continue to kind of recruit the guys that, even if they are committed, go after those guys and try to see if you can give them the flip or reevaluate your board, like I said, and just try to see who's out there. Use your connections, use that pipeline that you have. Maybe there's a hidden gem out there that you just don't know about. But you got to continue to recruit until the whistle. I don't think the staff would give up, but that's kind of where we're at this point.
Yeah, at this rate, that official visit still is available. And I get why there's consternation. Scott's done zero since arriving. Well, do you remember who we were saying did zero last year around this time?
Hey, I think you want to say the flip phone man, right? Kenny
Yeah,
Bacon, look how he's turned it
Baker from out
around,
of
man.
the phone. And Kenny Baker, to his credit, turned it around. Obviously, some institutional help with the portal. And those types of recruitments, Kenny Baker came through there, but he's got two guys locked up right now, Dylan Berryman, Corey Wells, looking good for a few other guys in the Southeast. So first cycle struggles are still a thing. And Texas A&M did not want to lose another head-to-head recruitment. So I think they made their effort and were rewarded with a big addition from KJ. And it does sting because, we've been talking about KJ for so long and kind of pigeonholing him as a floor setter in the class to where now, okay, what's next for Texas?
Yeah, definitely. I know we, kind of like you said, I kind of had him pinged to the class. We've been talking about him for so long. He seemed like a kid who would just go to Texas, another East Texas kid, get an opportunity to play in Austin. You just never know how so many things shake out at the end of the day. Like you said, give credit to the Aggies. They did a good job of recruiting him so much that he felt like that's where he needed to be. And, like I said, you just kind of continue to recruit your board and go from there and just kind of see what happens. Like I said, until December, you never know how the things may shake out. We've seen things turn back and go back and forth all the way up until signing day.
So what's next? Obviously Xavier Crowell, that's going to be a very, very tough battle, getting him out of the state of Alabama. Derek Cooper, that maybe Texas looks there, goes back to Florida. That's going to be tough getting him from the state of Florida with Miami and Florida State and Florida after him. And you suggested, and I'm pulling up his huddle now, the guy who I've said he looked like Jonathan Brooks, and I know Texas recruiting him as an athlete. I think recruiting him in the defensive backfield, that's Paris Melvin, out of Si Springs in the Houston area. He did it all for Si Springs, and one of the cool things he did, in my opinion, was he didn't have to play running back, but the Si Springs coaches asked him to play running back, and man, it looks good. I do think that, I try to be kind of slow with player comps to the greats, and excuse me, Jonathan Brooks only had one season, great season nonetheless. But I'm kind of thinking that this guy looks a little bit like Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, man. One of the things that popped out on his tape, he looks like a patient runner for a guy who just asked to play running back. It looks very fluid. Like it comes natural to him running the football. Look how he made so many people miss. I call it missing in the phone booth, and then down the field making people continue to miss. And he's separated. Like he looks really good playing running back to me. I know that, like you said, they recruit him as athlete, probably DB, but he runs through arm tackles with ease. Stop and starts really good. Jump cuts. I mean, he looks like a running back to me. I think you made a good point comparing him to Jonathan Brooks, just kind of by his style and how he runs the football.
And then another good one from Evan Barta. I feel like everyone's throwing big bags around, and Texas needs to wake up and start throwing around theirs for Crowell. Couple things there. Not all these kids are committing to Texas out of the goodness of their hearts. They know that NIL opportunities are there at Texas. I think Texas tries to be very, very patient with how they approach NIL. But let's not act like they're not doing it. And then at the same time, throwing theirs around for Crowell. Well, what do you think Alabama's going to do? What do you think Auburn's going to do, especially for an in-state kid? Like, right. These are the tough. This is the life you live when you're recruiting national elites, and some of them aren't from your home state. And even for the ones from your home state, like, the misses are going to stink. The wins are going to be that much sweeter. But it's recruiting. There are going to be misses, and this is one of them that hurts for Chad Scott, Steve Sarkisian, and company.
Yeah, definitely. Everybody has NIL. Everybody's going to go or give it their all and then get their best efforts, probably to keep a guy in state like a Crowell out of Alabama. You don't want to lose that to an out-of-state school because they'll never hear the end of it, right? And so it happens. I mean, NIL is everywhere, and I froze up a little bit. I apologize. But, yeah.
You're good.
NIL is NIL everywhere.
I think one thing that we haven't been able to see a ton of in recent years, and this is going to be a chance for Chad Scott either get back in with a lot of these guys. It's going to be tough because a lot of them have decision dates set. This is a chance to prove you can evaluate too. Find that senior eval. Find somebody who can step in or step up during the course of their senior year and really make the most of it. And that's kind of it's a trade that people forget about because so many of these kids commit after official visits. I'll knock this out in a second. So many of these kids commit after official visits, but there's always a few that do something good during the year that are worth recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, look at last year, right? I want to say my mind went blank. Grayson Littleton, like, didn't he take a visit to Texas like late in the season? He had took OVs right. Elsewhere. And then during the season, came to visit Texas. Like, you never know how these things shake out, right? So kids get interested. Things happen at other schools too they could be committed to. And so you can get guys back on campus. You can kind of pique their interest a little bit, especially seeing how the season plays out. We all expect Texas to have another great season. So you have that. And sometimes the teams they're committed to don't have a great season. And kids start to kind of win options back and forth because during recruiting – you're told one thing and you got a great outlook, and then you get on the field and everything you were told, that team does not pan out to be what they were selling. So I think kids pay attention to that. That's why you always got to recruit until December, until signing day, just kind of see how it all shakes out.
Who knows? Maybe at the end, big bank can take little bank, and you know, as Paul Wall once said, that's how it works. So we'll keep going. Obviously a big sting for Texas and hey, figuring out what's next at recruiting running back, because Texas doesn't have any running backs committed right now. The official visit list, I don't know if they have one coming in next weekend. I'll have to double check that list to see, but definitely a sting for Texas. We will talk a little bit about some of the guys who did make their way to Texas this past weekend, get some reviews and reaction up from that. We got to talk about, of course, the number one guy on the board. That's Felix Ojo, Mansfield Lake Ridge High School. Hadn't shut it down yet, not done with the process quite yet. Going to take a trip to Utah, and I think you had said there's a family connection there that has him seeing Salt Lake City.
Definitely. Apologize. Yeah, Ojo, I guess with religion, Utah being, a state of Mormon, I didn't know that's his religion. And so he has some connection there to that, I think, giving Utah a chance. And of course he's known those coach staff for a long time. They've been recruiting hard for a long time, he said. And so giving him an opportunity, a shot, right? I mean, that's all you could ever ask for a staff. They've been begging for an opportunity to get him on campus, and he gave them that opportunity. But I do know you got to hang out with Trevor Goosby this past weekend, just kind of see the guy that he'll be replacing, he said, honestly. And that's how Texas views him. And he understands the pipeline of Kelvin Banks and Trevor Goosby. I can be that next left tackle to be 3 years and out. And so Ojo definitely sees the opportunity at Texas. He has a great relationship with Coach Kyle Flood. Enjoyed his visit at Texas, just kind of sitting down and talking academics, seeing the full picture. But like you said, just not ready to shut it down just yet and visit, give Utah a chance and evaluate everything after that.
I posted over on Inside Texas earlier today all the decision dates that we do know. I don't think he was in there. I don't think he has a date set quite yet. I know John Turntine, you've reported it has July 4th. We have a couple coming up in the next few days. Dre Quinn, Vodney Cleveland. Those are the guys we're going to be talking about next. Before we do, keep on going. Got to show some love to our sponsor, and that is Roback. There's only one way to describe Roback. best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items within their new licensed game day collection, and it's our favorite. With novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-zip designs from some of your favorite schools like Texas, it's definitely worth checking out. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Both are super comfortable, have an elastic waistband and great fabric that's made to have the appearance of a nice short look with a comfort for a day on the move. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars like Quinn Ewers. They are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code TEXAS20 on Roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. That's R-H-O-B-A-C-K.com and 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with TEXAS20. We welcome on Justin Wells, who had the scoop on all this KJ Edwards stuff. Has committed to Texas. I threw out the idea. We had mentioned that, you know, kind of what happened with Kenny Baker last year may be happening with Chad Scott right now, getting involved in the up for a lot of targets. We kind of covered a lot of the Edwards stuff. Don't want to rehash it over and over. But maybe what with Crowell, with Cooper, and then, you know, kind of seeing what's next after that. It's going to be tough to find out.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of details to this, and there's some more that'll come to light in the future. But ultimately, it's very similar to Kenny's first year, even to Chris Jackson's first 6 months on the job. I remember, I think it was a while before he had Ryan Wingo wrapped up. And so that's what we're seeing is other schools are using that against Texas. And that's what we had with KJ Edwards. A&M convinced KJ that, you know, they had been in it longest, and they had. A&M has recruited him the longest, and they've been the most consistent with him. And so that, you know, and they wanted him to understand, you know, Texas hasn't been. Well, Texas has been. It's just the new coach, and Chad Scott prioritized KJ. He was the first call he made. It wasn't Javion Osborne or Tre'Davious Ball. It was KJ Edwards. That was his guy. But A&M, going into this OV last weekend, A&M knew exactly what they needed to do to counter Texas' lead, and they did it. You have to tip your cap to Trooper Taylor and those guys. They did a tremendous job in that recruitment. I don't think it's over. That remains to be seen. Texas is not going to stop recruiting him. They absolutely love him. And so I think they're going to continue to kind of push that. But, yeah, his first – that this is Coach Scott's first 6 months. It's going to be kind of rough, similar to the way it was with Kenny Baker, similar way it was with Chris Jackson, and other schools are pouncing on that. And look, if that's your sales pitch, that the other coach may not have been there as long as the one that's recruiting you at your school, I think you're okay. I think you're going to be in good shape. And there's still a few other running backs on the board that Texas really likes. And so they're going to be fine. But you know what? It's June. And so I kind of think we should be used to this by now because I feel like every June and July, there's a handful of Texas or handful of kids that may be trending Texas that it takes a sharp right turn, you know, similar to a Samuel Rosenborough not doing interviews Sunday and committing to Texas. What, I mean, A&M, what, 12 hours later, 24 hours later? There's a lot of play in the background, in the scenes, behind the scenes going on with this stuff. And, That's what makes college football fun. These schools will go at each other. I know Texas is not one of those types that likes to, you know, use another school against them. They don't necessarily want to downgrade. They just want to sell what they have. But some other schools have to do that. And I think that's what flipped it. I think that's what Trooper Taylor, that's how he did it. And so Texas isn't done. They're not going to stop with him. But right now, he came off that A&M OV, and after talking to him this morning, they blew him away.
All right.
Add to this, they're also going to get DeQuivis Beck. That's a four-star linebacker teammate of Carthage. He's leaning A&M right now. I would be shocked if DeQuivis Beck didn't wind up at Texas A&M as well. I think he has one more OV left, but Aggies did a great job with Beck. If they can get both of those kids out of East Texas, you have to tip your cap to A&M.
I already threw this off of Charlie, but Paris Melvin, running back.
Yeah. Paris Melvin is one that you need to be paying attention to. Texas loves him. They haven't figured out what side of the ball he's going to be on yet. I know they've looked, I think they talked a little bit about safety, and that's where he's going to play at Cy Springs for his senior year. But that's a kid that could tote the rock. I think you're going to see some other names. And I would not be shocked if Texas ups the ante with Derek Cooper. They had talked about a midweek OV a couple weeks ago, and we had kind of seen that kind of, flutter away for the most part. Don't be surprised if Texas comes back a little bit more and they never stopped recruiting Cooper. They just trying to find the right time to get him in for an OV. And so I wouldn't be surprised if they double down on Cooper, continue with KJ Edwards, and you might see some new names as well.
Just a dude, I see your comment. No, he canceled that trip. Justin had that reported a few minutes before he committed. So that official visit is still there for maybe at some point during the season if they wanted to use it. Justin, we had already talked about Felix Ojo. Coach Dove got the reaction there. Still has that trip to Utah. Mm-hmm. I didn't know the Ojos were LDS, so it makes sense.
Me neither.
New one for me.
Him and Sean Bradley, I mean, the family resemblance is eerie.
But we got to talk about somebody who we feel a lot better about, especially compared to KJ Edwards, who I think Eric put in an RPM, and that is Birmingham Parker, defensive tackle, Vodney Cleveland. And I always love this part of his huddle. There he is, and there's King Kong.
I've never seen every time.
It always is a lot of fun. But this is one. He just canceled his Miami trip and is announcing his commitment this Saturday. And This one feels pretty good. Speaking of Kenny Baker, right?
Absolutely. I'll tell you a little bit about the recruitment, but I want Coach Williams to dive into just the physical part, what he's good at and what he could bring to Texas. Vodney is one that I think Texas did a tremendous job with this weekend. That official visit, this was the one he was waiting for. Florida had some momentum. Miami had some momentum. Auburn was kind of still in the mix, but – he told me when I went to see him last month, he's really, really wanting to see what Texas was all about for his official visit. His parents absolutely loved it. And so when I talked to him on Sunday afternoon coming out of DKR or out of Moncrief, he basically said, he had told me he wanted to make an announcement in mid-June. And I said, are you still kind of in that range? And he goes, yeah, I've got a lot to think about right now. I'll probably have something out in the next day or two. He lets us know, hey, I'm about to cancel that Miami OV, and we just put two and two together. Now, there's a lot of momentum there for Texas right now. I think they did a tremendous job, not only with the OV. I think they did a great job selling him on how he's going to fit in Austin. I think they did a great job with the NIL presentation. And I think Kenny Baker, it took 6 months for him to get his footing. Once he did, he started landing dudes. And I think they have put themselves in a tremendous spot for Vodney Cleveland, who's going to announce on Saturday. We were joking around. I said, hey, Vod, I think when you should do this? He's like, when? I said, Saturday. He said, why? I said, because that's my birthday, June 21st. He's like, done. And so all joking aside, Vodney's a great kid. I think Texas is trending, but I want to hear what Coach thinks about kind of how he would fit, what, three tech, five tech, things of that sort on the 40 acres.
Yeah, definitely. Look, to me, it reminds me a little bit of Dylan Behrman. I think these guys are like, you put them in the middle, put them in a zero or one and say, hey, keep the lineman off the linebackers, right? I need you to hold, drop your anchor and don't let anybody get upfield to the line, to the second level. I think that's what he can do. Now, he's a strong kid, has violent hands. I mean, he has a good leverage to hold on. Like, you can especially use him on running down, short yardage, and goal line. I think him and both Dylan Behrman are going to have their specialties at Texas, right?
Yeah.
These are the guys that eat up blocks and let the edge guys just destroy teams on the end, on the outside, right? So you put those two guys in the middle, let them eat up, take up three or four guys, and then let your edges and linebackers roam free and make so many plays. I think Texas is getting guys who fit different styles. If you want to play bully ball, we got guys for that. If you want to spread us out, we got guys for that. And so I think Coach Kenny Baker and Coach Lyle Clark are both doing a great job of adding guys that fit multiple different schemes. And Texas can line up in multiple formations and still be able to play against any type of offense out there. So this is a great get. I think he has, like I say, he serves a need as the guy who can stop the run. And you definitely need him on short yardage downs.
Justin, three in this class, right? At defensive tackle, maybe four.
Three or four. I mean, I think three would be the baseline. But I mean, if you can get a James Johnson, or you can get, yes. I mean, there's a handful of Jamie and Winfield. They're not done talking to him. That's a quiet recruitment for a reason. And so I think the number could go to four, especially with those two. Those two are numbers busters, but I think three is the baseline.
The good thing is, as far as defensive tackle goes, you don't have to take five. You don't have to take six, just because you were able to kind of reset the classes via what you brought in the portal with the multi-year guys.
Yeah.
You basically backfilled the class of 2024. And a little bit in the class of 2023. So you don't have to take unhealthy numbers as far as maybe not unhealthy numbers, but too much, dedicate that. There's always money involved with defensive tackles. That takes up some of your budget. Like definitely a big thing for them to be going for three, maybe even four. Last one to talk about. We can go through a couple more questions in a second. Dre Quinn over from Buford. Definitely somebody who just continues to feel the love from Texas and is reciprocating it as well.
Yeah, you know, and I give you credit for that one, because when he came in for his unofficial visit, you know, sometimes we have to scatter because certain guys, players, parents go certain ways. I didn't really get to interact with Dre that much. You got a great interview with him. We're walking out and you're like, man, I think this dude had a great time. Like, and sometimes a lot of times these kids have good times. I mean, that's part of the process. But sometimes we can get a vibe from them. And sometimes they'll say certain things they may not even realize they're saying, that it's like, okay, Texas might have – they moved the needle here. Or they could be trending now. You know, things of that sort. And you had said, Justin, I think Dre Quinn in Texas makes a lot of sense. Like, that kid was talking him up. Then he comes to the official visit. You say the same exact thing to me when he left the airport. You're like, Justin, I think this guy's going to Texas. Like, just talking to him. I love the vibe. I love his body language, all this kind of stuff. And I love where Texas is for Dre Quinn right now. The newly Buford, boy, Buford's going to be good this year. Like, Grayson may have something to get. I mean, Grayson may have somebody to battle now that they're loading up. But Dre Quinn is one of those kids that you put in the oven and you bake for a couple years. He's going to have to add some functional mass. He's going to have to add some technique, but his athleticism is off the charts. He's always around the ball making plays. He's long. I mean, he's ridiculously long. It almost looks like a Kevin Durant-esque type of wingspan. He's just big. And I love where Texas sits with him right now.
Charlie, you can set your watch to it. It's time. We're talking to Alan Clark. He's definitely did his work and has Texas looking very good. Notre Dame, Clemson, Georgia Tech, I think Tennessee may be involved as well. But I think it was going to be Clemson, Notre Dame, or Texas. I think he's not going to make that Notre Dame trip. He's got a decision date for Thursday, and we're liking this one.
Definitely. I love this one, man. And look, just watching this film earlier, like, it's very few guys who can make an offensive lineman miss with their feet, right? You don't have to put your hands on offensive lineman. You never let the offensive lineman touch you. He's one of those guys. We just got to talking about two monsters in the middle who take up blocks. You let a guy like Dre Quinn go one-on-one outside versus any offensive tackle, and you're in trouble. Your quarterback is going to be running for his life. I absolutely love this kid. I like where Texas sits at. Well, you know, in the recruitment, like you said, I guess he was all joyful, you know, on the way to the airport. You can kind of tell it wasn't just post-visit buzz. Like, you got a chance to sleep on it. Like, you go to the airport, you're still happy. That means you like what you just experienced, right? The whole nine. So I like where Texas sits. But Coach Alan Clark is doing a wonderful job, man, building these relationships with the parents, the kids. I think his dad said something like, we trust Alan Clark. I know he can develop my son on and off the field. And when it comes down to it, he has guys in the NFL that still trust him and want to train with him. That speaks volumes. These guys are making millions and they trust him. What would he do for my son, right? And so that speaks volumes about the trust they have and belief they have in Coach Lyle Clark to actually develop him.
The thing with Dre Quinn is, when I got done with the interview with Max Wright, the current commit and the current offensive line commit, there's always, like you mentioned, the post-visit high, the post-visit buzz, but it's kind of like, you can tell that this one means a little bit more to him. And even way back about last year, there were some twists and turns, but Jamarian Carlton was kind of the same way. And there are a few other 2027s that I think are kind of like that. Dre Quinn definitely had that sense after talking to him in April. And you know that at that point you're like, okay, he's from Georgia. He's not from Melissa like Max Wright was, and he's not from Temple. And Texas still has a battle for Jamari and Carlton. He's from all the way from Georgia. But you do, you get it a second time, and then it's like, okay, that he really means what he says about Texas. So we have a ton of updates over on Inside Texas from the weekend. So go check that out. We got a link in the description. You can sign up, get access to read a lot of those. If you're joining late, we did kind of talk. We did not kind of. We went over all the KJ Edwards stuff at the top of the show. So
good job, Joe. Good job, Joe, on getting the show staggered. So when it would happen, we went right on the air.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if fans noticed that, but that was Joe Cook masterclass timing. So if you don't know any better, now you know.
I mean, usually we start this show at about 11 or 1:30.
We had to wait.
Yeah,
can you imagine?
And that's okay. We are always going to respect these kids. We are always going to respect what they tell us. We're gonna be honest when they're honest with us. And so yeah, we had to wait just a little bit.
But yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah, Derek Cooper, Paris Melvin. I think there's going to be a couple names we're not used to hearing yet that are going to pop up. I wouldn't be surprised if they go shake the tree on Tre'Davious Ball. I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe get another look at Davion Gross, who's an absolute blazer.
Yeah,
it's unsure if running back or receiver is kind of his ideal, is his projection in college. But they're going to get somebody good, because if you remember the first 6 months, Kenny Baker was having a hard time. By the time signing day came around, he wasn't having any issues.
I see Just a Dude popping up with another question. Is there a
Not this season.
Yeah, like something like Velton Garner. You get Velton
Garner. I don't see that happening either. They like okay. what they got. Now, God forbid something happens in August in camp.
Yeah.
Then you could say, okay, a Velton Garner type, or maybe they would look at somebody else. But if everybody's ready to rock and roll, and like Eric broke the other day, CJ Baxter's back ready to go, mm-hmm. They're not going to touch the portal. Now, after the season, we'll have that discussion.
I did look real quick to see who, you know, which, if there are any portal running backs available.
It's Velton Gardner's, baby.
Can I interest offense. You? May I interest you in a gently used Savion Red?
Dude. I would take Savion Red in a second.
You know what, though? Savion's about to get carries at Sacramento State this year.
Oh, that's where he went to? Oh, okay.
He's a Hornet now.
I got to get on three to update that.
Brendan Marion is cooking in the state capital of California, Charlie.
Yeah.
And then the only other one, I think. Y'all remember Brandon Campbell?
Yeah. The little guy that went to A&M. From Maryland, right?
From Katy.
Oh, well, all Katie's are
the same. Went from USC. He's been around the country. He's listed as still available. I'll have to double-check some of that stuff. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you, Xavier Flores.
They're not going to
be unless something drastic happens, because that's what happened last year.
Right. In 4 days, that room changed.
Last but certainly not least, and, again, if you're joining, already kind of hit all the KJ Edwards stuff. Head to Inside Texas for that.
Manuel Soto, KJ is an early enrollee, so Texas will be recruiting through the whistle up until mid-December. He actually took his statistics exam yesterday. He did not do well, so he's going to get another chance on Thursday. No, it was funny because all the guys in Carthage were joking about it. Carson Crawford, they have a linebacker committed to Texas Tech that is a dog, okay, just who's going to also play some tight end. And he just said, man, I just pushed through it. And he had a good grade. The other guys are like, you told us this class was going to be easy. This is not easy. So they've got a little bit of work to do. I was like, man, statistics was not easy in college. So I can't imagine what you guys are trying to do. But they were so funny about it, because they're like, wait a minute, Carson passed it and the rest of them had a hard time with it? What is going on here? KJ's like, man, I gotta get it again. And he's going to get it again. He's an earlier enrollee. And please don't get it twisted. KJ Edwards is one of the nicest, best kids I've ever met, and I'm going to root for that kid no matter where he goes, no matter what he does. Same thing for little bro JD, 2028, and Texas is going to stay on him as well.
good thing about journalism majors, there's no statistics on here. So, and why I have that in my desk, I still don't know. And then just a dude, you asked this, we'll do this before we get to Dia Bell. Tyler Atkinson, just Texas wasn't in the top schools for him.
No, they didn't put – they liked him last year. I actually think he came in for the Texas-Georgia game, if I remember correctly. When I went out to Grayson to see those guys, him and Anthony Davis were big, big Texas guys. They love Texas, the linebackers. But I think the Horns decided to go in a different direction. And so I can see Atkinson staying in that region. I think Auburn might be the sleeper there. Watch Auburn, watch Georgia. And then with Anthony Davis, USC has just been tremendous in that recruitment. But now, Texas wasn't really in the Tyler Atkinson recruitment past, you know, this winter. And that's okay. I think Tyler is an incredible athlete and has a ton of upside. I also think he may be limited athletically at the next level. Maybe it already peaked. And that's something I think that a lot of schools are considering.
We'll move on talking a little bit about Dia Bell at Elite 11. This is always a great event. Texas had a lot of their quarterbacks get involved in the Elite 11. I found the list. Vince Young, Jevin Snead, Garrett Gilbert, Gerard Hurd, Shane Bouchel, Sam Ellinger, Hudson Card, Malik Murphy, KJ Lacy. Quinn was there. He was an Ohio. He was an Ohio State commit at the time. And then now Dia Bell.
He came out there and was flinging it with that nasty mullet hair looking thing. That was a fun. Elite 11's always been fun. I just hate that it's not in Oregon.
I know. Dia Bell's there on three via Chad Simmons and via Charles Power. Talked to him a little bit. And one big thing, which, and I think Eric's done this really well, said he's still one of the most important recruit. Dia Bell said, you know, I still hear from Ohio State. I still hear from LSU. But he said he does not. He is locked in and he doesn't plan to visit another school or make a different decision unless something drastic happens at Texas. And there are about 60 million reasons why something drastic is probably not going to have happen at Texas.
Joe. Also, something to note about Dia Bell, he has had a number of promotional stuff. He's been signed on with a bunch of different companies doing a bunch of new stuff. You can do that in the state of Florida. If you notice, each time they release like a press release or a social media release, he wants Texas Longhorns in every single post. He wants it known he signed here. Future Texas Longhorn quarterback. You got to love where Dia Bell's at. And now Dia's got to start working on who he's going to hand off to.
Yeah. We have a good idea of who may be protecting him, but who he's going to hand off to.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is always a real fun event because you see fans always talk about, oh, no, you're the bias, all that stuff. They're pretty fair there with Brad Stumpf running that and Elite 11. They've always been running a top class event, but it is a star-studded affair. Dia Bell, number two quarterback. I guess that means what's his name? Jared Curtis. Is he going? We'll find out in a second. This is the full list. Faison Brandon heading to Tennessee from North Carolina. Keyshawn Henderson. That's going to be a fun one to track.
I'm a big fan of that kid, man. Not just because he's a dude, but because he's staying loyal to the soil.
Yeah. Yeah,
he is like, you know what? I don't care if Houston's not in this major conference. I'm playing with my home. I'm playing at home. And if they get some – listen, Houston's been getting some commitments in the last couple months. They're going to put some guys around him. I love the potential Jalen Warren there. So I'm going to be real curious how Henderson looks because there's still people in the media that think he might be a better athlete than he is a quarterback. And I'm here to tell you that is wrong. This kid has been a quarterback at least since I've seen him.
Yeah.
And you know who's going to use him right? Willie Fritz.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Definitely.
Willie's going to be in his bag.
And he had a visit scheduled to Florida State, canceled it, staying at Houston, big time there. Faison Brandon, that looks like a Jeff Heupel commit. that is exactly what that is. Landon Duckworth from
– I think Xavier. Auburn. Auburn's got some stroke there right now.
Yeah.
Really? He did take a – oddly enough, and it was after Dia was committed. I think he was with the 7-on-7 team, and it's just kind of the show through the line. He did visit Texas when he was committed. when he was committed to South Carolina. I think he's part of the same 7-on-7 team that Zelus Hicks was, 24-7, either gold or 24-7 carat. And so he made his way through. Obviously, nothing happened there, and I think South Carolina wants him in. Bo Bentley, Dave Campbell's cover boy, he'll be there, Oklahoma and LSU. Jonas Williams, some of these guys I don't know much about, and especially with USC.
I know Bo. I saw what Bo did to Kilgore High School. I don't know.
We've watched that one.
That'll be, I bet he probably sees a lot of John Mateer in himself, but he may see some Garrett Nussmeier in himself too. And I'm wondering, that should be coming down pretty soon. Heck, a lot of these kids make those commitments.
Oklahoma cannot afford to lose him, guys.
I'm with you there.
True.
Jake Fetty from El Paso Del Valle.
He can play.
He's a little underrated. He can sling it. Maybe if he's a DFW Houston kid, maybe Texas pushes a little bit more. I like him, but I think he found a really good fit at Arizona State.
Arizona State's kind of got some pull. I mean, because Tempe and Phoenix is pretty darn close to El Paso.
That's closer to El Paso. Definitely. Closer there than it is to Austin, I would think.
Yeah. So, he was really highly ranked to start, like top 20. He's kind of popped down a little bit. But still really skillful and a great fit. Oscar Rios, I think I saw he is down to either like Oregon and Arizona or Oregon and UCLA, something like that. And then this one just came down today.
Didn't this just happen? Jet Thamala?
Yeah, he flipped from Iowa State to Alabama today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, today.
So, and Matt Campbell just getting his lunch taken.
I'm going to trust Matt Campbell with quarterbacks.
True.
I think Rocco Beck could end up being like
big. The only thing, I'm not going to say that. Yeah, I trust Matt Campbell with quarterbacks. Now, I don't necessarily trust Iowa State quarterbacks with squares and stuff like that, but I do trust Campbell to pick the right guy.
Darian Coleman from Florida Jones.
Dude, every time something's posted on my timeline or on my mentions about him, they rave about this kid. They think he's better than Dia. There's a section of Florida that really feels like he's the guy in Florida, not Dia. He's the one. And I got to tell you, the kid looks great. The kid looks really good. I think Miami's getting a dude. He's not Dia Bell, but I think he's good. They're getting
him. Yeah, he's good, though.
Helaman Kasuga from Utah, Texas A&M's commit.
Hey, they got a 4-star. Give him props.
Charlie, this was a kid that we loved. He's not he's not exactly Dia Bell, but, man, this was a really good kid. Visited Texas a handful of times and looks like someone who – I like him in the pipeline behind DJ Lagway there.
I do. I like Griffin a lot, man. When he came to visit, him and his family. This way he interviewed like a Texas kid, a kid that goes to Texas. But you see him in all the videos. He's getting that class together at Florida. He's talking at every official visit in front of everybody, like, come play with me. So, yeah, I like Will Griffin a lot.
I do too.
Tate Reynolds going from Arizona all the way to Clemson. Troy Hune,
I don't know him. We know Troy. Troy.
He was a Texas offer. I think it was kind of a race to the spot between him and Dia.
Remember Chad Simmons slipped in an RPM for him, I want to say right after the visit.
Right. But
then I think we knew Dia was going to drop like within the week. So we knew that he was probably going to go in another direction.
Real good quarterback. Going to be doing good things at Penn State. Good kid. Let's see, Matt Punitowski.
I watched Travis last year when I went to go see Nick Brooks, Tyler Atkinson, Jet Watson, all those guys. Travis was the quarterback. He gives me you remember Auburn's quarterback, Jason Campbell?
Yeah.
He gives me some Jason Campbell vibes. He's kind of tall. He's kind of long. He's got kind of a windup, but, man, he has some velocity on the ball. He's a playmaker. He can move in and out of the pocket. He throws well out of the pocket. I was impressed with him. Honestly, I thought he would have even higher offers. I was sitting there with Georgia Tech and Auburn coaches who absolutely loved him. And so it's interesting that UNC grabbed him so quick. But I remember watching him last year. He was good.
Going down, looking a little bit more. Briggs Cherry going to Louisville. Again, Jeff Brohm, I'll trust what you do there.
Yeah.
Going through the rest of them.
You know what? It's not common to see this many 3-stars at the Elite 11. It's just not.
Yeah.
I think the cycle's down a little bit, guys.
And Bryson Beaver, I think he just got offered by Oregon and decommitted.
Yes, yes, yeah. I think that somebody made a comment, Boise losing a quarterback out to Oregon or something like that.
So, Diabelle will be there.
Bryson Beaver, a Beaver going to Oregon would be hilarious.
Hey, you know, isn't what is it called? Oregon or the Nike campus is in Beaverton. So, Phil Knight, I don't know.
I miss it, man. God, I miss it. Been, sometimes I think about week. Just going up there for the hell of it.
I know. Well, going to be fun. We'll be tracking Dia at Elite 11. I'm sure all their social channels will have some clips of him. That'll be fun to track. But make sure also you like this video.
Let me get Just a Dude before we buck out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had that one queued up. I don't know.
Well, I mean, he's got a couple, but this is one I like because, you know what direction I'm going here with this. Okay. He sees Zach Swanson. I see kind of a mixture of Jared Allen, Nick Bosa.
God,
maybe even Joey Bosa,
Brock Lesnar,
Max Crosby, like a hair of Max Crosby. That's kind of the thing. Maybe even the presence of a Jack Sawyer.
I can't
think of any others.
I call him Baby Bosa.
I can't think of any other guys.
I need to watch his film a little bit, but
Brian Robinson.
Yeah, there we go.
Somebody. Yeah. I can tell you this. Maybe Cole might be a man. He ain't the athlete Brian Robinson is.
Maybe
Robinson he's a freak.
The thing with Swanson was always going to be an interior guy. He needed to get the weight line play in the SEC. Had a decent game against Texas in that Peach Bowl, but
just didn't have the body compass. I don't think he had the body frame for what they were ideally wanting.
But realistically, what are we thinking on Kroll?
You mean for the Texas chances?
No, like a good comparison. I mean, I don't want to say Ethan Burke or Vossett because he's not
there. Yay! There's two more. What are you doing? Those are perfect.
Could you go? Did you go Hutchinson? Was that Michigan? I mean, maybe.
Oh, yeah, that edge from Michigan.
He went to Detroit? I mean,
my goodness. Aiden Hutchinson.
Aiden Hutchinson.
Man, that's it. It's Aiden Hutchinson. That's the comp.
All right, I don't think
if the chat could come up with any more, we'll give you credit.
I can't think of any more. But if you got them, make sure you head to InsideTexas.com. We got a link in the description. Also, make sure you like this video, subscribe to the channel. Any big recruiting news that comes down this week, we'll be having it here. So make sure you stay tuned to the Inside Texas YouTube channel. Charlie, thank you so much. Justin, thank you. Thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. The Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.